Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Let's talk about travel. Join us today as we discuss travel comes in many forms. Hey friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell, and we have a very interesting article to discuss with you today. But first, let me introduce my co-host for our next few days. We have Peter in the studio with us. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Campbell. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
All right, Peter. So as I mentioned, we are discussing our travel article for this month. Do you enjoy traveling?
I do. I'll be honest, I enjoyed it more when I was younger somehow. I suppose maybe the more you travel, the more you see of the world, the more you kind of realize, okay, if I see, you know, one tall building or one tall mountain, in a way, I've seen them all. But yeah, that's kind of a cynical point of view. I do still enjoy traveling, but it's not quite as carefree a thing as it used to be. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I enjoy traveling, but I think I'm not that old and neither are you. But as we do get older, I think it does take a physical toll in some ways as well.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. It's just hard to bounce back from the jet lag and, you know, the exhaustion of travel and things
like
that.
Right. It's so much easier when your parents are planning everything and when your dad's driving the car.
And paying for everything.
And paying for it, lest we forget. Yes.
All right. Well, we have an interesting article. The first 2 days of this article, we're going to be hearing from a couple, and they are of retirement age. And they're not only traveling, are they?
No. They are traveling and living while they travel. Mm-hmm. This is a unique lifestyle choice that they've made. And so I'm glad to be here to read this article and think about it, understand what's going on here.
Right. So they will be, they're actually literally moving onto a cruise ship. Have you been on a cruise before?
I have not been on a cruise. I mean, not that I'm a big traveler, but I've traveled by most forms of transportation. I've gone by boat, but the longest boat ride I've ever taken is probably a ferry trip of maybe an hour and a half.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, cruises are great. I've been on a few, and they're fun. You basically, you know, you live on, it's basically a floating hotel.
Yeah.
Right? And it has all the amenities you might need and all the food and entertainment. And it's great. It's a lot of fun. Definitely you get what we call sea legs, right? When you get on there and then you come off. And, you know, the longest I've been on is probably like a week long cruise. Mm. So when you get off, for a couple of days afterwards, you still feel like you're floating, you know, and you're kind of moving, even though you're on solid ground. But it's a great experience. It's a great experience. Now, would it be something that I would want to do beyond 1 week? I don't know. We can discuss that as we read this article together. All right. So if you have your magazine, I hope you have a magazine. If you don't have a magazine, I recommend that you subscribe to Advanced so you can get the magazines in front of you and take notes as you follow along. You can join us on page 18 of this month's magazine, and we will start right at the top where it says, "Travel comes in many forms."
Travel comes in many forms. A look at life at sea and the growing travel experiences industry. Full-time living on a cruise ship? Florida couple goes all in. Jim and Chris Gold are about to sell their home and travel around the world, living full-time aboard a cruise ship called Villa V Odyssey. Will it be exciting? Yes. Expensive? Kind of. Tight? Well, the Golds say they're not worried about feeling cramped inside a 140-square-foot stateroom for the 15-year option they just purchased. They recently spent 14 years together in a recreational vehicle, RV, hitting each of the lower 48 states. "We will not be in our room very much," Chris says. Every morning, I plan to walk up the three decks to the gym where there's an exercise class. And there's the buffet where we will eat. And there's entertainment in the afternoon. That might get boring after a while, if not for the port calls. The ship's itinerary includes stops at 425 ports in more than 140 countries over the 3.5-year continual world cruise. The Gulls plan to get on the ship at the Colombian port of Cartagena and stay aboard for at least 7 years and longer if they love it. Mikhail Peterson, the company's chairman, told the South Florida Sun Sentinel that 354 of 480 cabins have been sold to long-term residents. "We are looking forward to having Jim and Chris on board," Peterson said. "We are sure they will love it."
All right, so we hear about a couple, Jim and Chris Gold, and they are planning something interesting, right? So they're about to sell their home and travel around the world, living full-time aboard a cruise ship called Villa V Odyssey. Does that sound like something you would want to do, Peter?
It's certainly something I would want to think about. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean think about, like, see if I could make it actually happen, plan it in that sense, but think about, like, idly.
Right.
I can't honestly imagine wanting to live at sea full time. Mm-hmm. It seemed, I mean, sure, I understand the adventure. I understand the excitement of it.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a personality. It is just a worldview,
right,
orientation that I don't have.
Right.
Call me a land lover, if you will. But yeah, I enjoy the sea. I'd love to spend more time on boats if I could.
Right.
But I just can't see living there full time.
Right. Yeah. So you used an interesting phrase. You said live at sea. And in our deck, it says a look at life at sea, right? Mm. So this just means, you know, basically spending the majority of your time on the ocean, right? On a boat. And many people do that for various reasons. Some people, like, for example, people in the Navy, they live on these big, you know, big boats and ships all the time. So they are spending their time at sea. Fishermen, I think of, they also spend their time at sea. But here we're talking about traveling on a cruise ship. And it's not, as we said, it's not just for 1 week or even 2 weeks. It's for several years. Okay. And so we ask a series of questions here. It says, will it be exciting? And the answer is yes. Will it be expensive? Kind of. And we'll talk a little bit more later on about how much this is going to cost. And then the last question is tight? Question mark. Will it be tight? Now, what is that referring to here?
Right. Well, tight, meaning tight, not a lot of room to mm-hmm. move around. And
yep.
obviously, if you're on a boat, no matter how big the boat is, eventually you're going to, you know, hit a border of some kind where, whoop, I can't go any further.
Right.
There's the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah, unlike on land where you can just walk and walk and walk and walk pretty
right.
much anywhere in the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you're selling your home, and you can assume if they're from Florida, the homes are usually pretty big, at least way bigger than the 140 square foot stateroom that we're discussing here.
Right.
So for a reference, 140 square foot, that's the size of an average bedroom, you know, mm-hmm. more of like a guest bedroom, like a smaller bedroom. So they're moving from a house to a bedroom. And granted, they do have the run of the ship. They can move around the ship. But, you know, all their belongings need to fit in that one small stateroom.
Right, right.
Right. And so we have the word cramped here. What does that mean? What does the word cramped mean?
Right. Cramped simply just means that you don't have enough space for if a room or a building is cramped, or if a bus, a train is cramped, it just means there isn't enough space for the people in it.
Right. And we're talking about their stateroom here. Now, a stateroom is basically a room that is on a boat, right?
Yeah.
So when you purchase a ticket to go on a cruise, you're basically paying for the room. And there's different sizes and different, you know, features of different staterooms that have different costs, right? And how long is the ticket, basically, the option that they purchased here?
Right. The option that they purchased for their stateroom is for 15 years.
15 years.
So it really is more like real estate than traveling.
Yeah.
From the sound of it here. When you think about, I've never bought a train ticket
right.
that took me on a 15-year train trip.
Right, yeah.
Know? But a house, you know, I mean, an apartment, you lease it for at least a year, sometimes yes. longer. Or if you buy it, you own it, then you own it indefinitely.
Right.
So yeah, there's kind of a mix of travel and real estate here.
Yeah, it sounds almost like the premise of a sci-fi movie or just, you know, like
yeah.
I think of there's a TV show / movie that I saw where, you know, this is the future and the world has been frozen over and people are, you know, they buy tickets to be on a train, you know.
I think I saw that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Or those sci-fi movies where they, you know, travel into space and they're buying, you know, a ticket to get into that spaceship that will launch them into space for several decades.
Right. Well, right? They'll be asleep in suspended animation
exactly.
because it takes so long to travel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it sounds a little bit like a movie, a fantasy movie, but, you know, it's reality. 15 years. I was just thinking, wow, if I did that, I would probably be in my 60s by the time I got off that boat. That's, yeah. But this is not something foreign to them, right? So what right. have they spent the last 14 years doing?
Right. Well, they spent the last 14 years, almost 15 years, traveling together in a recreational vehicle, better known as an RV,
mm-hmm.
hitting, it says, just means in this case visiting, each of the lower 48 states, which means the states in the United States, except for Alaska and Hawaii,
right.
the contiguous states, as we sometimes say,
right.
they're all in the same general area.
Yeah, the states that are all connected. So basically, as you mentioned, the states that exclude Hawaii and Alaska because they're separate from mainland United States.
Right.
Right. So, you know, being in an RV, that's not a huge space as well. So they're used to being in a cramped or smaller space together. So good thing they like each other.
Yes, yes. That no doubt helps.
Well, the reason that they're okay with having a smaller space, what does Chris say?
Well, Chris, and just to be clear, Chris is the
wife.
Woman in this case.
Yes.
Chris, a name more often for a man, but can also be for a woman. We will not be in our room very much, Chris says. Every morning, I plan to walk up the three decks to the gym, where there's an exercise class, and there's the buffet where we will eat, and there's entertainment in the afternoon. So, yeah, as we go here, this is becoming a little more plausible, a little more
sure.
conceivable.
Yeah.
The cramped stateroom, it may be small, but that's really just where they sleep and mm-hmm. brush their teeth, you
mm-hmm.
know. They live, so to speak, or they eat, or they work out, or, you know, enjoy leisure time. Like you said, in this large cruise ship boat
right.
that they're on, almost like maybe living on a small college campus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense, right? Like like you mentioned, college campus, the dorm rooms aren't usually very big.
Exactly.
You know, and,
yeah.
you know, you go in there to sleep and to study, but you spend most of your time outside, right?
Right.
In common areas and things like that. Even in your own house, right? I don't spend all my time in my bedroom. I'm
exactly.
in the living room. I'm in, you know, in my study, all these different things, right? So, yeah. It's maybe not so bad to have, and you can minimize. You don't need a lot of stuff as well,
yeah.
right? We'll see how long she actually does end up going to these exercise classes every day. You know, we always have the best intentions in that
sure,
area.
Sure, sure.
But we'll see. All right. And the thing that is going to keep them from getting bored are these port calls. What are these port calls that they're referring to?
Right. Well, a port call is just a port, you know, a place, a city, town, where a ship stops on a journey from one place to another. So a port call is a place where the ship temporarily pulls in at the dock and ties up and the people can get out and explore the area for anywhere. This is just secondhand information I have, but anywhere from, say, an afternoon to maybe an overnight stay. But then mm-hmm. they get back on the ship and the ship goes off to another port and
right.
has another port call.
Yes, yes. So that's kind of the appeal of traveling on a cruise ship, is that you get to visit different places, different countries sometimes even. Basically, the ship will go through the ocean, and then every day or every couple of days, they will dock. They will pull up to a port, and then the passengers can disembark. They can step off the ship, and they can explore that city for a few hours or for a day, or as Peter sometimes, you know, sometimes it's overnight, and then, you know, just kind of experience life in that place, and then they get back on the ship, and then they travel to the next location, right? And this is more convenient, right? Because if you were to do this, let's say, on a plane or a train, you'd have to, you know, probably pay for each of those tickets. But here you pay one fee and you get to visit all these different places, right? So for the next 3.5 years, right, this Villa V Odyssey will be visiting 425 ports in more than 140 countries. So if traveling and visiting new places is for you, this sounds pretty appealing.
Yeah, that is, I'm no math great, but that is roughly about a different port every 3 days or so.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so this is 3.5 years. They are signed on for 15 years. Later, we find out that they are planning at least for 7 years. So that probably means, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen after 3.5 years. But I would imagine that even if they do end up repeating things, it could still be fun because, you know, I've enjoyed going to the same place twice.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And over a 7 year period, you know, there'll be new things to see, especially if, you know, like we said, you only get to spend an afternoon or at most maybe an overnight in the place. Most places that a cruise ship is going to stop has more to do in it than you can cover in a single day. So
right,
a repeat visit would be totally fine.
Yeah, for sure. And I've definitely been to places where, you know, I'm like, oh, I'd love to come back again, you know. So I think that would be a lot of fun. All right. So where are they planning to get on the ship?
Right. They will be getting on the ship at the Colombian port of Cartagena, Colombia in South America, northern South America. And they will get on there and stay aboard for at least 7 years and longer if they love it.
Right. So they'll probably take a plane, I assume, from Florida to Colombia. And they will, I mean, they have purchased a 15-year option, but they are at least going to be on for 7 years. All right. So Mikkel Pedersen, who is the company's chairman, okay, the company, the cruise ship company, they told South Florida Sun Sentinel, which is a newspaper, that 354 of the 480 cabins have been sold to long-term residents, right? So that's about 70% capacity. Long-term meaning that they're not just on for 1-2 weeks. They're going to be on for an extended amount of time.
Right, like the Golds.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was, when I first read this article, that was an interesting paragraph there in that it says that the Golds are not that unique, really.
Right.
That, you know, you got 354 cabins that have been sold to people like the Golds. They're not just these strange people who want to go on a cruise ship for 7 years. This seems to be a thing that many people are thinking of.
Right. Yeah, and it's very interesting. I think you would probably get to know these people. You see them.
Right.
For, it's basically a neighborhood, like a moving neighborhood.
Yeah, right? Yeah, a floating neighborhood.
But it's great. I think one great thing about cruise ships is you don't have to worry about, oh, what am I going to eat? You know, like, oh, what am I going to cook? Or you have to buy groceries and then you have to do the dishes. It's, you know, it's really convenient.
It's so, all there for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all you can eat. So
that
why not?
That's
right?
Nice.
Okay. So, why are the Golds well-suited for this permanent life aboard a cruise ship? Let's find out. Join us at the next section there where it says, A Life of Tech and Travel Together.
A Life of Tech and Travel Together. The Golds seem uniquely well-suited for permanent life aboard a cruise ship. They met while Chris, now 72, operated a computer training center called Computer Savvy. Jim, now 71, worked for a Deerfield Beach, Florida company, building, installing, and networking personal computers. Chris purchased computers from the company for her training center, and Jim showed up to service them. They bonded over their mutual love of scuba diving, computers, and travel. In the late 1990s, they bought an RV. They spent 14 years, from 2003 to 2017, traveling the country, holding seminars to teach RV enthusiasts how to get on the internet, and creating computer training videos for a company they founded called Geeks on Tour.
All right, so how did the Golds meet? How did Jim and Chris meet?
Well, this is a charming meetup story. They met some decades ago when Chris was operating a computer training center called Computer Savvy. Computer savvy is a good word there. It just means someone who is savvy is clever and knows how to deal with situations successfully. They're smart. So a training center called Computer Savvy would draw customers, because it implies that the person who runs it knows what they're doing. That's Chris. Jim worked for a company that built and installed networking personal computers and who sold to Chris of Computer Savvy the computers for her training center. And then Jim would come and service them from time to time. And Cupid was at work.
Yeah, this is true, right? So back to that phrase, computer savvy. We often use that when we're talking about, you know, is someone computer savvy or tech savvy, right? Are they good with computers? Are they good with technology? Do they know how to use these things? So that phrase, even though in this case it's the name of their computer training center, it is actually a phrase that we do use in English. Mm. This person is very tech savvy. This person is very computer savvy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. You won't often hear savvy just by itself. Mm-hmm. It'll often be connected to a particular area or field.
Right. So they met while she was operating this computer training center, and he was the one that was servicing the computers. And what did they bond over?
They bonded over their mutual love of scuba diving, computers, and travel. Mm-hmm. So right there, again, another piece of the puzzle falls into place here. Anyone who enjoys scuba diving and travel will, you know, probably be pretty at home on a cruise ship for 7 years.
Right. Yeah, that's a very unique combination as well, right?
Yes.
Scuba diving, computers,
although
and travel.
Although not here at Studio Classroom.
This is true. Yes, for those of you who know our founder, Doris Brome, she was very into scuba diving and actually technology and computers as well, and travel. So she would fit right in with them. Okay, so scuba diving, computers, and travel. So you can tell why they formed a connection, because that's a very unique combination. You know, not everybody is into, you know, some people might be into scuba diving or travel or computers, but to have all three in common is very special. So what did they do in the late 1990s?
Yes, well, they bought an RV, and that's the word we learned a little while ago. RV just means recreational vehicle. And just to give you a visual on what an RV is, you've probably seen them before, maybe in a movie. They're those huge vans, basically, that are like a small house and a truck put together.
Yeah.
It's not quite a bus, because it's meant not to just transport the general public. It's for private individual use.
Right.
But it has a small bathroom, beds, some kind of cooking area often, maybe a small little couch, all on four wheels.
Yes, right. So recreational vehicle, people use it to travel. Maybe they go camping, or, you know, if they want to do a long road trip, it's a little bit more spacious than a car, as Peter was saying. You have a kind of a small living room area. There's a kitchen, there's a bathroom, showers, even beds. So it's just a little bit more comfortable if you're planning to do a long trip. And, well, they didn't just do a long trip. It was over a decade, 14 years, from 2003 to 2017. And they traveled the country here. We're talking about the United States, right? As we mentioned earlier, they traveled the lower 48 states of the U.S. And what did they do on their trips?
Right. Well, this is to their credit. They didn't just visit gift shops and go out for dinner. They held seminars to teach RV enthusiasts, other people who enjoy using RVs and own RVs, teaching them how to get on the internet. And they created computer training videos for this same purpose through a company that they founded called Geeks on Tour. Cute right. little name there. Geek, meaning someone who is passionate about a particular subject, in this case, computers and scuba diving, but who is often socially unpopular. Geek is a relative of nerd, and yeah, it basically means those kinds of people that we all know, many of whom have gone on to be very, very successful.
Yeah.
Multi-billionaires even.
Right.
But geeks meaning, you know, very passionate and very savvy about a particular thing and maybe right. a little more awkward in social situations yeah. and relationships.
Yeah. When growing up, I feel like there was more of a negative connotation with the word geek. But yeah. I feel like over the past few years, it's kind of become cool and trendy, right? To be
it has,
a geek,
yeah.
right? Especially if you're talking about, you know, you're a geek, for example, different sci-fi genres, you know, there
right.
might be like Star Wars geek or a Star Trek geek or,
right,
you
right.
know, and geek can actually be also a verb, right? You geek out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, I geek out
yeah.
over certain things, right? All right. So let's talk about Geeks on Tour. On the bottom of page 18 on the right side, we have a little box there that talks a little bit about Geeks on Tour and what this company does. Can you tell us about it?
Right. Well, it's basically internet advice, computer advice for people who like to travel specifically. And so if you subscribe to the Geeks on Tour website, you get access to a list of class presentations, public presentations that the Gulds have done for the website or for private clients that they videoed and then uploaded to the website, learning guides, tips, and over 900 videos of the couple mostly wearing their trademark propeller beanies. Three nice vocab words. Their trademark meaning something that is distinguishes you in a particular way or distinguishes a product, a trademark thing of some sort. And in this case, a propeller, that's the blade that spins around on an airplane usually, but you can see a propeller in other settings. In fact, in this case, you can see a propeller on top of a little beanie, which is a small cap with no bill, usually multicolored, like a beach ball, and it will have a little plastic propeller on top, which doesn't really do anything. It's just an ornament. And this together is usually what is meant by a beanie. And it's kind of a symbol of geekdom, of,
right.
you know, of nerdy, sort of extremely unfashionable fashion choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I think of the icon of a geek, it's usually they're wearing this propeller beanie with thick, you know, black glasses
right.
and maybe some buck teeth or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I think that's a very appropriate icon for their company. So this company does interesting, I feel like it's a very niche thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
you would think that, I'm just amazed that some people can come up with like, okay, this is what I'm going to build a whole company around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
These videos teaching people how to use tech when they're traveling,
yeah.
you know? And it's amazing what people can come up with to be able to share their knowledge, right? And it just fits right in with their personalities, right? They love to travel. They love technology. So this is great. All right. We have a lot more to discuss here about this article. So please come back and join us for day two of this article. Until then, this is Campbell.
This is Peter.
And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.